Last night on ITV, we saw the first part of a new three-part drama called Too Close. This is an adaptation of Natalie Daniels' 2019 thriller of the same name about a forensic psychiatrist, Emma, played by Emily Watson, who's trying to assess whether Connie, played by Denise Gough, is fit to stand trial. Connie claims to have no memory of the night when she drove her car off a bridge with two small children inside. Is she the yummy mummy murderer the tabloids are painting her as, or is she a disturbed and desperate one? Delighted to be joined by Denise Gough from London this evening. Yummy mummy monster, yummy mummy murderer. That's quite a character to take on, Denise.
Yeah, I love it. It was, it's in keeping with all the other roles I play.
Which bit, the yummy mummy bit, the murderer, or the monster?
The murderer, the monster, the whole lot, Sean, the whole lot.
But there must have been something you don't, well, maybe you do go in saying, yeah, do I want to play a yummy mummy murderer? What is it when you read a script about a character like Connie? What are you looking for, Denise? What's the key that attracts you into a character like that?
Well, I mean, I didn't even notice that really the yummy mummy monster reading it. That wasn't what stood out to me. What stood out was, I mean, it's an incredible part for any actor to have. But I wasn't at a stage where it was up to me whether I would play it or not. You know, it was offered to a couple of my peers first and eventually kind of made its way to me. And then there was the usual audition process. So I would love to, I guess I'm sort of getting to the stage where I get to read things and say, oh, this is what I want to do. But I had to fight for this part just like any other. And I fought for it because I get to do every possible thing in this show. And also, you don't know, it's a very interesting thing, this yummy mummy monster, because it's how we report on women in the press, you know. You've no idea what has gone on in this woman's life. And so it's a kind of three episodes of discovering that.
Yeah, and I suppose even take the word monster out of that. It's so easy to dismiss any person. Oh, look, there's a yummy mummy. And that's it. Yeah. You've labelled them. That's them sorted. You don't need to think anything more about them. You've got them in a little box where you want them to stay.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it just challenges all the things that we, because when you meet her, she's so kind of horrendous in that first episode. So you instantly, at least I hope, people take a real dislike. And it shows what we do with people, you know, based on what they look like or what they have done, we can write them off pretty quickly. And what I hope this show will then do is sort of tease you as to whether you're right or not to write her off so quickly.
Can you do that as an actor? Can you like or dislike a character?
Yeah, of course. I don't like everyone I play. I don't believe in that whole... I think you have to find some level of understanding and acceptance in them. But yeah, come on. I mean, the parts I play, I can't like all of them.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of Paula. I think this the last time we spoke, in fact, was about Paula and the BBC series. And she was a bit of work as well. On the surface, she was a bit of work, but actually when you get in underneath it, she wasn't. She was a bit of work, but she had reasons to be a bit of work. The same with Connie.
Exactly. I mean, human beings are endlessly fascinating to me because they're not just one thing all of the time. And I think the idea of people being goodies and baddies is so kind of ingrained in us. And actually things are far more complex than that. And so that's what I seek. You know, you ask what I look for in a part, and it would be that, you know. I don't really get drawn to things that are quite simplistically one way. I like things to be more complex because we are more complex and we're all doing the best we can with what's available to us, even when we do horrendous things, you know. But I don't have to like all my characters. I don't believe that we have to do that in order to be able to play them.
One of the great dynamics in the piece, in this new work, Too Close, in the new three-part series, is the relationship that starts to develop between Connie, your character, and the forensic psychiatrist Emma, played by Emily Watson. This is, it's a real case of Connie really knows how to turn the tables on Emma.
Yeah, and also you have to remember too, like Connie would have seen the film Silence of the Lambs, you know. She's got access to, you know, she's playing in order to avoid having to take responsibility, or to avoid, you know, things like dissociative amnesia can be ways to avoid dealing with trauma that have happened. So she's doing everything she can to deflect, you know. That's a huge thing for her, and so she employs all those kind of techniques that you see in those relationships between like interviewers and their interviewees, you know. Yeah, we see it all the time. It makes for good drama, doesn't it?
So Connie is the kind of Hannibal Lecter of this particular dynamic.
Yeah. I tried to do that thing, you know, that I tried, but they wouldn't let me.
I wonder why. let's have a listen to a clip. This is very early on in the first episode. In fact, it's the first meeting between Connie, your character, Denise, and the psychiatrist, Emma, played by Emma Watson.
Mm-hmm. Go on. Have a good look. I would. How on earth did her life go so wrong? Quite easily, as it happens. So you better watch out with your swishy bag and your sensible shoes. You could be next.
It's my job to keep you safe. To treat you. And the court have asked for my opinion of your mental state on the night of the offence.
We need to find out why you are unable to recall the events of that night.
Scene there from Too Close, Emma, played by Emily Watson, and Connie, played by Denise Goff. And Denise speaking with me this evening from London. A very interesting line in the midst of that scene as well. You're not only, for me at any rate, Denise, was Connie addressing the character of Emma with her swishy shoes, her swishy bag and her fancy shoes, etc., etc. She warns, she's kind of telling us all, life can fall apart quite easily in front of your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, on a global scale, look at the last year. We have no idea what's coming down the road. And I think things like mental health, particularly, I think there but for the grace of whatever you stand by or believe in, you know, I think it's very easy to think things will happen to other people. But how do we know? Mm. You know, so it's good to kind of have an awareness of that when you're dealing with somebody.
Yeah, there's a touch of check your privileges about the life can fall apart quite easily, that statement, yeah, isn't there?
Totally, totally, you know. So, I think that's something that this highlights as well, you know. Because you live in a fancy house and you have all the trappings doesn't mean you're not susceptible to the same sort of breakdowns that other people are.
I spoke about, we last spoke around the time of Paula, which was just before you won your second Olivia Award, Miss Denise Goff, because I spoke to you when you won your first Olivia Award back in 2017. In fact, what I remember most about that conversation was you were playing was that character called Emma? Actually, funnily enough, I can't remember now.
Yeah, in People, Places, and Things.
She was called Emma. The irony of it, that not the same name as now, but the same name as the Emily Watson character now. However, yeah. Emma was this, you know, drug befuddled actor. And you had to go through, in my mind at any rate, quite an emotional journey in that play. And I spoke to you at that time when we used to be able to go to a theatre and sit in the theatre and watch things happening in the theatre. I had to speak to you before. We couldn't do it live because you were about to go on stage. But we did it like kind of maybe at 6:30 or 6:27 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you were in the
state. I'm not big on preparation, Sean.
I'd say you do the preparation for the rehearsals and all that, but you don't believe in this kind of get yourself into a zone. You don't do this type of thing at all.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how I'm feeling at the time. I don't try to follow any one fixed thing because, like anything else, I think if you get too used to doing one thing and you think you can't do it without that specific sort of... Like, I heard something recently, a friend of mine who had worked with Daniel Day-Lewis said that he had said to her, you know, I really wish I could do it another way, but I can't because I learned really early to do it this way. And so he's superstitious about sort of changing anything. So I just don't, I don't stick to any one routine when preparing anything because I don't like to be superstitious.
Yeah, so you're superstitious about being superstitious. So to avoid being superstitious, you just change it. You change the way you approach it.
Change it all the time. Sometimes I'll be able to do an interview at 6:30 before a show. Sometimes I won't, but I won't put any kind of rules or strict regulations on myself. Except to make sure that I've eaten earlier and drank loads of water. That's basically
I suppose, it. Yeah.
Those but are not too much water in case I have to eat on stage.
All the vital details that are
all the vital details.
But I remember in that interview around the time of the winning of the first Olivia. Now, obviously, Paula must have been happening probably around the same time or very shortly after that. But you said to me at that time about, I said, well, is it theatre all the way for you? And you did express a great love for theatre, but you did hope that the Olivia Award would start to open up more television. And then the second one which was for Angels in America, wasn't it? Has it opened up on you a different type of work to you now that maybe wasn't there before?
Yeah, I mean, this role is something that usually I would only get to play on stage, you know, this, what I'm doing in Too Close. And there's no doubt that even though I would never suggest anyone make their theatre career about winning awards, but they, unfortunately, that's the kind of world we live in, where we kind of put a lot of value onto those things. And so, and it did help me for sure to get the kind of roles I was getting on stage, to get them on screen, because, you know, I love doing screen work, but if the part is better on stage, I'm going to take the part on the stage, you know, because it's about my satisfaction, not necessarily yours. But since, I mean, now I can do whatever I want, which is the greatest luxury ever, and it's all I've ever wanted. But the main thing that I can do is that I believe now that probably for the rest of my life, I can work in any theater and do and get plays put on. And that's what I've always wanted. This is all great. What's happening now is great, but it's also very different than, you know, it's quite exposing being on TV and being in films and stuff. It's a whole different ballgame. I'm really comfy on stage, you know. I don't have to talk too much about myself or be recognized. Each one has its ups and its downs, but the stage is everything to me, everything.
Yeah, which must, I'm wondering what the emotions are around it at the moment, because obviously there's no theatre happening at the moment.
Yeah, and we're first in, last out. You know, theatre was the first to go into a lockdown and a shutdown, and it will be the last out of it. You know, we're going to need huge amounts of rehabilitation, and it's not going to happen overnight. We're not all suddenly going to be sitting in packed theatres together. It's going to be slow, and we're going to have to make sure that all the great stuff we had started doing before this happened, the pandemic happened, that we commit to continuing that, so that theatre continues, like that we can get it to wider audiences, that it doesn't continue to be such an elitist sport, if you like. You know, we were doing really well at creating, you know, £10 tickets and everything, and I worry about all of that now, because it's going to be in so much debt having been closed for so long. Will come back.
Yeah, for sure it will be back. It'll take more than that to kill it, I would have thought. What do you think about, you know, the way that we are getting things, like particularly from the National Theatre in Great Britain, where they do this, the National Theatre Live type of thing, and this is happening in more and more theatres, where the performances, if not taped, it certainly, it might be coming to us live, but we could be seeing it subsequently in a taped version. Does that open things up to audiences and new audiences? Has COVID, in fact, maybe opened the idea of going to a theatre up to people, because they could do it from their own sitting room? So now they might actually go to the theatre itself.
Well, hopefully that's what happens, and that it doesn't become, oh, well, we'll just watch it from our living room. I mean, I don't think there is any substitute for being in a theatre with people. Like, I get really emotional even thinking about the times that I've had and have been allowed to have in the theatre and how much I miss it. And I don't want it to become Like, it's brilliant that we found this hybrid thing to get us through. And it's great that people can have access to plays that were filmed. But personally, for me, I want to be in a theater. And also, you know, they film our performances, but my performance is designed for the stage. And then you put it on the telly and it's like, oh my God, why is she doing that with her face? It's so huge. So, I'm not sure I like being filmed doing stage acting and it being put on screens all over.
However,
we have it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it must do as a great master and all of the rest of it. But I'm sorry. To get you to tell this story, but I really want to hear it from your mouth as opposed to on a printed page. Meryl Streep won't be coming into your kitchen if she sees you. Now explain why I might be talking about Meryl Streep coming to you straight after a performance.
Well, so when I was 23, it was my first big job. I did a play, an Irish play called By the Bog of Cats in the West End with Holly Hunter. And there was one night that our green room was being made very tidy and fancy. And I thought it was a party for us. And so I came bounding down the stairs after the performance and I literally kicked the door open and the door flew back. And then Meryl Streep was sitting on the couch and crying because the play, it's a very intense play, Irish writing. And she got up and came over to me and said, well done, congratulations. And I threw my arms around her and it's so nice to meet you. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm meeting Meryl Streep. And then when I pulled my arms away, her earring had gotten caught in my jumper and it ripped out of her ear. So then it was me and Meryl Streep on our knees trying to find her earring. But also me panicking that her ear was maybe, I was afraid it was bleeding. So I kept, you know, doing that thing of trying to grab her ear. So anyway, we found her earring. She was grace personified. And then as I stood up, I turned around and Jim Carrey was standing there with his hand out saying, he put his hand out and he just went, nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely mortified. And I had to leave. That was my Meryl Streep story. So I don't know if she would remember that. It was 20 years ago, and I'm sure it meant way more to me than it did to her, unless I did, in fact, maim her. And then maybe maybe she does remember. But hey, you know, it's a good way to get somebody to remember you.
When I get to interview her, it will be my very first question, Denise. Listen, I was tempted to gorge on all three parts earlier today, but there was a small matter of other stuff to get ready for the programme.
But also you can't, can you? It's not out.
Well, I was lucky enough to be given previews, but I decided to hold off. I decided to hold off and watch it in the real way. So I'd be watching.
It's anxiety inducing knowing that it's happening, like every night thinking, oh God, being on terrestrial TV is such a different ball game for me. Like even Paula, I didn't feel this anxious about. Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Well, I enjoyed episode one. I'm dying to watch episodes two and three, which will be episode two is on ITV tonight and episode three tomorrow night. But for those who don't have the ITV on their television package here now, it will be on Virgin Media next month. And then you won't be able to come home after all of that because then people say, oh, that's your woman who was in. That's the yummy mummy monster. Denise, lovely as always to talk to you. Continued success. Looking forward to the third Olivia and several BAFTAs and all the rest of it. And I hope you'll always talk
to
us.
Also, I just wanted to just quickly say, I heard you rehearsing as I was waiting to come on. I was hearing you rehearsing what you had to say. And I thought, God, it doesn't matter who we are. We all have to go through the same thing with rehearsing.
Yeah. Did you hear the 54 takes that I had to do for one thing that I was recording?
Yeah. I'm working on something at the moment where I have these lines that are just so difficult and I have to learn them in a rhythm, otherwise they won't go in. So I was very impressed. Well done.
Thank you very much for that. I'm going red. Denise, thanks a million. I hope to talk to you soon and I hope you're back in theatre soon. Hope to see you home in Ireland at some point soon as well. Denise Goff there. Too Close, as I said, the name of the series. It continues on ITV tonight and tomorrow, but we certainly be watching out for it. Do watch out for it when it comes, if you don't have ITV on your television package, when it comes to Virgin Media, and that will be next month.